We're live.
I'm a co-founder of PixelJar and the lead developer of our commercial plugin AdSanity. I'm the current co-leader of the OC WordPress Developer Meetup and former co-organizer of Dre's favorite WordCamp, WordCamp Orange County. I'm an active member of the WordPress community team and have recently been deputized to bring more WordCamps to more places for more people. These days, technology has given us the ability to be connected to everything, all the time. Work, friends and family, news, cat videos, whatever you want, whenever you want it. The volume of information that is available at our fingertips is astronomical. With the advent of social networks, we have the ability to push our thoughts out into the digital world and get instant feedback from the people who are connected to us. It's both fantastic and frustrating all at the same time. But let's take a step back for a second and think what that would look like in the real world. Just imagine this scenario. You're hanging out in a room with all your friends. You randomly blurt out, "I need some capoeira in my life." Instantly, a group of your friends look your way, give you the thumbs up, and say, "I like that." Sounds a bit strange taking it out of context, but this is the world we live in now, a world of fragmented relationships. On the one hand, we're able to know more details about more people than we ever have before. On the other hand, the depth and meaning of those relationships suffer. Our brain isn't capable of handling more than about 150 meaningful relationships at a time. I would throw myself in front of a bus for the ones that I love. I love Dre like a brother, and I do it for him. Maybe I already have once or twice, but I digress. I encourage everyone listening to go out and form real, deep, honest, human relationships with the people you meet. Your life and the lives of your friends will be better because of it. Remember, handshakes are important, but sometimes hugs are even better. Hey, Dre, Brad, I have a little riddle for you. What do you get when you cross Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with an Italian classic?
What's that?
Pizza rolls! I'm Brandon Dove, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time. You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
That's right. We're starting right now, and you're listening to the Dragcast episode 67. This is the number one listen to podcast on the entire internet that talks about WordPress on Wednesdays from 8 to 9, but it's still a pretty popular show. So we're excited. We got a fun host on. There's pizza rolls, so I'm already down. Dre.
Well, I mean, a couple of things there. One, I'm going to do a correction like they do on PTI. This is actually episode 68. But we'll push on to the day that I become a black belt. I'm going to have my own maneuver, and I'm going to have to call it the Tostino pizza roll. I mean, that's going to have to happen. That was awesome. Bro, how have you been? I mean, sheesh, a week off since Chris Coyer. That was an amazing episode. And I expect this to, like, double the enthusiasm, the awesomeness. I'm pretty stoked about today. How's your week been?
It's been great, man. It's December. It's a crazy time of the year with the holidays and end of year work. Everybody wants everything done yesterday, and then you're trying to get ready for the new year, and it's crazy, but it's fun. I love it, right? It's snowing out. It's starting to feel like the holidays.
All right.
Well, you guys don't know anything about that, but
It's almost snowing here. It's about 68 degrees with a light coastal breeze, but shameless plug of the week, if you go to webdevstudios.com/contact/careers, you should come play with WebDev Studios. We're hiring. I just had to do that. I don't know why, but I wanted to do that. Now,
you man, did it all right. So we gotta, let's go ahead, Dre. We got to get this guy on here.
No, we got a good show. What are we gonna do with this, Brad?
We got a great show, and I'll introduce Brandon. He kind of introduced himself in the monologue, which is great. Co-founder of PixelJar, also the lead dev of the commercial plugin AdSanity. He's a big part of the whole WordPress community out there in Orange County. Which I've been to the WordCamps that Brandon, you've hosted, which are pretty amazing. Now, even though you won't jump in front of a bus for me, it's all good. I'm really excited to have you on the show, Brandon.
You'll get there, don't worry.
I'm glad I'm working my way to it. It's cool. It's cool. I've shared pizza rolls on a few occasions, but whatever.
Well, last time I remember, you didn't share any, so.
That sounds about right. That's how I share pizza rolls.
Oh, man, we're like 8 minutes in, and I already got a side ache. This is great.
You get them while they're hot, or you don't get any at all. It's simple. It's pretty simple.
Ironically, the last time we shared pizza rolls together was in the middle of a 2 a.m. Podcast, WordPress related, and we're in the middle of the show, and you hear the oven actually go off, ding, that the pizza rolls were ready to go.
And I got up. I wasn't waiting till the show was over. The pizza rolls are done. Why would you wait? I love them when they're lava and you don't know if they're going to like actually send you to the hospital or not when you bite into it.
To just melt your face. Well, I'll tell you, I'm excited to kick this off. We've got a lot to talk about. But first, we need to kind of figure out what we're all sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Every party's got a pooper. That'd be Dre. I am on a 9-day stint of all jiu-jitsu all day day. So I'm heading to train before I head out tomorrow for Word Camp Las Vegas. So I'm sipping on a nice glass of water in a plastic mason jar.
I have a suspicious feeling that you will make up for it while you're in Vegas. Just a hunch, but I have a feeling you'll make up for it.
This is fact.
Brandon, what do you got over there?
I have a delicious cup of peppermint mocha.
That is, tis the season for some peppermint everything, right? Yes. And we were talking before the show, it's homemade. I just assumed you can only get it at Starbucks, but apparently you can make it. Who knew?
Man, I don't know how people lived before Starbucks. I mean,
this shows what I know about coffee. You know? I grind beans and it comes out black and I drink it. That's pretty much my extent of making coffee. That's pretty cool. Well, Dre, I'll join you on the pooper bench. I'm also hydrating today, so drinking some of the good aqua. Awesome. Gentlemen, this will probably be a boring show because I don't know if it's... No, I'm just kidding. This will be great. Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Well, we've had less than 5 episodes total where everybody's sober, so it's a sober Dradcast. This is good.
Oh, yeah. We're turning a new leaf into the new year. No, not really, but let's get into it because we got a lot to talk about, guys. Brandon, you got quite the resume. You've been around. I've known you for a few years now. I know you and Dre go back a bit longer than that. You mentioned on the... in your monologue and kind of the intro that you got a lot of different things going on, from your own company to your own commercial plugin to being a big part of the OC WordPress community out there and leading the charge and organizing WordCamps for the past 5 years, I believe is correct.
Yeah.
Man, so let's go back before that. Let's get into where you actually started. Like, when did you first get into computers? Is this going back to high school? Is it before that, after that, or I think it's back to where you got into it?
Yeah, way back in the day. Elementary.
A long time ago in a galaxy.
I've kind of always known I wanted to be in computers. Originally, it was in computer graphics and video games. I actually went to college in the film and television department. So really, animation is where I. I found my love with computers, but that started way back in elementary school. I had a teacher back then that we had a classroom full of Apple IIes, and we got some action on those things.
I know what you were doing on that. You were playing Oregon Trail all day.
Right. Yes.
That's like the only thing anyone ever did on a 2E was play Oregon Trail.
Yeah, but how rad was it?
Oh, it was the best thing ever.
My oxen kept dying as I hit the pass.
The one thing I learned from that game is I'm really good at wasting food because, like, you kill 2,000 pounds of, like, bison and you carry, like, 10 pounds back. It's like, can you make a couple trips here? Is this it? Like,
I'm never taking you hunting, you poacher.
I'm just shooting everything. Like, I don't care what I can carry. Everything's getting shot.
If it flies, it dies.
So you're getting into the 2Es. You're going into getting into some computers, and I'm sure you did some of the... I can't even remember a lot of the early programs on 2E besides games. I'm sure there were stuff outside of games, but I really don't remember.
I think the first programming I ever did was in high school. I took a class on BASIC.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty rad. We made all sorts of beeping sounds with the audio and just dumb things. I mean, making rainbows go across the screen. But it kind of like, it just fueled the fire a little bit. I kind of felt like computers is something I could do, and I was sitting at home anyways with Prodigy and making that thing happen. I after high school, went to 4 different colleges in 4 years, and just really
you dove into you trying to earn some kind of medal by doing that, or is that like a thing? You just go to a new college every year?
No, I was playing volleyball at the time, so I went to play a couple different places. And
I don't think I knew you played volleyball back in the day. That's cool.
Yeah, so got that going. I was actually the Apple representative up at San Francisco State University when I was there. I got my feet wet with some macromedia director in the graduate program as a junior. And just started building interactive things for school, and just kind of dove into that a little bit.
So was the early passion, was it more around the design side of things? It sounds like that might be kind of the direction you were headed there.
I think it was more interaction design, right? So how people interact with things. The first application I ever built was actually a video editing program built with Director, so that people could piece together videos of instructional videos of people teaching blind people how to use canes. So it was insane. This was back when laser discs were the method of video delivery, and they needed a special delivery and editing system that wasn't really available other than that. So
and that was your first program. I got like that really blows away my guess the number between 1 and 10 program. That was like my first one. Like you're making like a video editing tool.
Yeah,
pretty amazing.
And obviously with Director, right after that, it led me right into Flash. And so I was building interactive things with ActionScript before it was known as ActionScript, and Flash 4 pages.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, drop down menus and all sorts of things.
Flash was hot back in the day. I mean, that's where everyone I think at some point wanted to be, because you could do so many cool things with Flash, and it's amazing how quickly that went from being like the hottest thing in the world to don't touch it, don't you dare touch Flash.
Yeah. So like the company I was working for, .com at the time, was really big into high end websites at the time that were using Flash and all sorts of things. So they sent us up to a conference, Flash Forward. It was sort of my first conference experience. Seeing a
community of people. What time frame was this? Where were we at in your timeline?
That was about 99, I think. Okay. 2000 maybe, almost. But it was kind of at the peak of when Joshua Davis was like the best guy in Flash ever, because he could make mathematical trees fly or something. I don't know. It's weird. It was the first time kind of interacting with the community outside of my local area, and it was definitely something that I got hooked on. And it started that I think has been one of the big driving factors of me staying with the community of WordPress and being so involved, things like that, is just seeing how when people get together in person and actually communicate with each other about the things that they're doing, technology drives itself forward really fast. So after that, of course, along with most people, got laid off from the .com just kind of went on my own, and did some freelancing for a local boutique studio doing Flash work and things like that. And in 2001 is when I met Jeff. My current business partner. Also when I got married, needed something more stable. So I was hired at that company, the boutique firm, to build websites, build CD-ROMs with Director, and do Flash animation, all that kind of stuff. And that same company we worked at for 4 years. And
you and Jeff both worked there?
Jeff and I both worked there, yeah. And they had the initiative to build their own content management system, like most people were trying to do in that time period. Mm-hmm. And it was a beast. And so we were looking at other models, and right around the time we were building that was when WordPress really kind of started coming out. and having built a couple straight PHP content management systems, you know, looking at WordPress as a startup from where we were going, it had a lot of potential. That was, I think, around version 1.5, 1.51 or something like that. And so, you know, I kind of dialed it up on my blog at the time and kind of played around with some themes and things like that. But, you know, nothing very serious until I would say the first site Jeff and I built after leaving that company in 2004 was on like 2.2, I think. And we actually had plugins and things like that, which was crazy. I think we built it off Kubrick, like everybody did.
Such a beautiful theme.
It was. But that Pixadar started in January of 2005. I actually left the company the day I found out that my wife was pregnant, intentionally, because I knew that one of us was going to be with our child growing up, being at the house, making sure we're providing for them. And so it was a do or die situation. So I convinced Jeff.
Definitely, they had to be a little bit scary. I mean, kind of taking that leap off the cliff and having a lot more to potentially lose than, you know, just, you know, someone that's single that maybe doesn't have a family or definitely doesn't have kids. I mean, I can't even imagine. That must have been a hard decision to make.
Actually, it wasn't.
It was
a driving motivator. I mean, my wife's a teacher, so
that's a great way to look at it.
So for her stability, you know, in the teaching industry, you know, that provided me a couple things that freelancers often have a hard time with: stable insurance and stable income. Both of those things, you know, were enough at the time for us to live on if I didn't do anything. And, you know, I had already been doing some side work, some freelance work for a couple agencies. So I took my one client, started up Pixadar with Jeff, and, you know, it just kind of snowballed from there. That's, you know, 10 years ago, just about.
That's pretty amazing. Does it feel like it's been that long since you kind of kicked off Pixadar?
I mean, honestly, right now, like it feels like we're just getting going again. But it's you know, every day is exciting. Like we have fun things that we're working on, and you know, I'm blessed with a good business partner. So it's good every day.
Yeah, and you're a relatively lean shop. Is it just you and Jeff, or did you grow over the years? Did you ever get much bigger than just the two of you?
We tried a couple things. We hired a junior level programmer for a while. But really, when our business really took off, there was much more programming work than there was design work. And I was doing the design work originally, and Jeff was doing all the development. But you know, it became to the point where we needed more developers, and so both of us took on developing, and we've worked pretty much side by side with Robert Ninehouse from Nine Studios. He provides pretty much all the design work that we do.
And in fact, Robert actually, just to shed some light to those that maybe came on to listen into Dragcast later on the show, was the guy that provided our first logo for Dragcast.
Yeah,
great work.
The guy's super talented. Didn't he do the WordCamp OC logos behind you?
He did. Actually, both those were him.
Which I think the one on the left is one of my most favorite logos I've seen from a WordCamp. It's just
ever.
I mean, it's really creative. It's really cool.
Yeah, he's an amazing designer, and what I was coming up with was nothing compared to what he could come up with in about half the time. So it just made sense to kind of work out a partnership that way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's interesting because there's two different kind of mindsets, I think, when you start a company and it's more than one person, right? And one is kind of keeping things small, and keeping, you know, understanding what you know, what workload you can handle, you know, your the resources that you have, with if it's two or three or whatever that size is. And then the other side is kind of the method more that I went early on with web dev, and it was just kind of to keep kind of growing as the work, you know, came in, and kind of grow organically as the jobs came in. And I know you guys have quite a reputation, been around for quite a while, so I got to believe that you've probably passed on quite a bit of projects over the years just because you were staying a smaller shop. So I always like to kind of hear why that made sense for you, and I absolutely agree. I think certain situations or setups are better for certain companies. So it's kind of fun to hear how and to see how you guys have stayed lean and mean over the years, but you're still building for some pretty amazing clients. I mean, you have a pretty awesome client list.
So I think that for us was a conscious decision. It was both Jeff and I are very very meticulous about our work. We do want our end product to be super, super high quality. And, you know, what we found when trying to grow is it was hard, especially being remote, and this is a challenge I think that we've sort of toiled over for a long time, is how do you grow your business and still maintain that quality of work that you personally expect of your name, right? And it was something that we tried. Like I said, we hired someone at the time a couple years ago, and I found that it was difficult to keep an eye on what the quality was, but and also run the business. I think a lot of small shops have this problem where you have so many jobs, so many hats to wear in a day, you run out of time in the day to actually do good work. And so it makes sense to bring on people. But at the same time, if you're not being able to, make sure that work is what you're expecting of yourself, then, you're not going to continue building a reputation for quality work. So it's something we struggle with. I mean, it's still not something I would say we've solved, but it's a work in progress. And I think right now, especially right now, we're very focused on putting together things that can help us grow, and scale our business rather than, add people at this point.
Very cool. So you've been around for a while. So recently, I think it was last year, it was announced that PixelJar was I believe it was being acquired by CrowdFavorite, if I remember how it was. Announced. Is that correct? Yeah. So you were at CrowdFavorite. You and Jeff went over to CrowdFavorite for a while, and then just recently there was an announcement that you're actually kind of peeling back off and kind of going back to your roots of PixelJar. Obviously, I don't want to get into the real details about it, but I would like to hear maybe just at a high level, like kind of the reasoning behind that, and I think you touched on a little bit too, kind of the fact that it feels like you're restarting again. It's probably re-energizing. So I think it'd be interesting to kind of hear a little bit about how that all went down.
Yeah, I mean, I have start off by saying, I have a ton of respect for everybody at CrowdFavorite. It was a very amicable separation. We continue to have a relationship with them. It just for Jeff and I, we had worked on our own for just about 10 years. And that included things like, developing, running a business, having products be out there. Obviously, we have at Sandy. Just kind of like, oftentimes we like to just try things to see what's going to happen with that kind of a style of business. And with a company like CrowdFavorite that's established and has their own set of parameters, things like that, it just wasn't the kind of the kind of job like that was not our responsibility, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Our responsibility was to be leaders amongst the developers, but primarily develop code. And I think one of the things that Jeff and I realized that we really missed, one of the most valuable lessons we took away from that, was we love running a business. That entrepreneurial side of us just loves being on our own and trying different things. Like, it was something that was what felt like it was missing. And in that, it kind of made us, you know, not be the kinds of people that we think the crowd favorite wanted to acquire us to be. And so we felt like it was a disservice to them to continue going through with things if they weren't going to be getting essentially what they were looking for.
And I think ultimately for you guys, for Pixel Jar, for you and Jeff, I mean, there is no losing, okay? There is there's winning and there's learning. So this is a situation I think that you win and you learn ultimately at the same time. You know, when this was all kind of starting to come together last year, I think you guys took the opportunity, and certainly any type of a merger, acquisition, anything like that is a risk. There's risk involved for everybody involved. But sometimes if you don't try those things, you never know whether it was worth it or if it was the right thing to do. So it's kind of like shit or get off the pot. Like let's give it a go, see what happens. It didn't seem to be something that was meant for either party, and you guys left amicably. That's awesome. You guys all gave it a go. That's great to hear.
Yep.
So now the rebirth of Pixel Jar, or Pickle Jar, as I like to call it, is in a place where you guys are. I'm sure you had dealings with existing and old clients, customers. Where are you guys targeting? What's it look like for you guys in terms of your growth? Any idea that you can give us on kind of where you want to go and where you guys are maybe looking to position yourselves?
Yes, I mean. We're really big on relationships, right? So we invest ourselves heavily in what our clients do and how they succeed, and so those relationships still exist. I think there's tons of opportunity for us to continue growing our business that way. I think that we have some real good opportunities in the sports industry in particular, I think that, you know, what we see ourselves providing is high-end, really custom websites as one of our business paths, and the other is products. We have a couple products that we've been concepting in addition to AdSanity that we're working towards. And sort of diversifying how our income comes in.
I love it. You know, I think that there's at least the feeling of that being a natural progression in the WordPress space. You get a lot of agencies or smaller shops, at least initially smaller shops, or freelancers that kind of kick in that direction at some point. AdSanity, let's talk about that a bit, because it's a product that's been around a little while. You guys have been massaging that. I think it's pretty cool. I'd like to hear a bit more about what the focus is there and maybe what the long-term strategy is around that.
So I think AdSanity is actually, it came out of a need of a client, right? So we realized that, you know, tons of clients were going to use this kind of functionality that our clients were looking for. They were using another plugin for banner management that I won't name, but it was overly complex, and the blogger that we were working with at the time just, you know, had it with that plugin, and actually that's where the name spawned of AdSanity. And the goal, the ultimate goal was to make it as simple as possible, not pollute it with tons of features, but literally just the basics of banner management.
That's awesome. And at this point, I mean, are you guys, is it strictly a plugin? Are you guys looking to offer some type of service around it? What is it that you guys are going to do eventually? I mean, is there anything you can disclose to us that maybe is in the works? We like them first kind of announcements
breaking
here
news.
On Dragon. Breaking news.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's an interesting model that you don't see too much in the WordPress space, right? You see like lots of plugins with, you know, 1,000 features that, you know, maybe you use 20% of.
Right.
And so we took the exact opposite approach, you know, focus on that 20% that we could really, really nail down and be solid. And that's where we focused, you know. I think that initially the idea was create a banner management platform that, you know, we can provide, because you do need, some people need things like weighting of ads, right? So you can say, I want this ad to show, you know, 50% more than this other ad. That's something that other ad management solutions provide, but we don't. Not in the core functionality, because frankly, not everybody needs that, and that particular thing can cause slowness in ad generation. So we took a lean and mean approach to make sure that this was scalable. The client we were working for was doing tons and tons of page views, so that was really important to them. You know, that's I think where we're going with it. We're starting to do use this plugin as a platform, and I think that that's sort of a hint as to where we're going. In that you have a very simple set of functionality that can be extended, just like WordPress Core can, to, you know, fit the needs of your unique use case. There's plugins that I've built in the past that are just like this. It's a platform like that, and I think that that's really honestly the future of where WordPress is things that are, you know, it goes back to the canonical plugin idea. You know,
I used to own that domain, by the way. Sorry, I just had to throw that out there.
That's good.
Canonicalplugin.com, but I let it go.
Yeah. No, I think that the idea of having a centralized plugin that everybody can subscribe to the basic use of, and then have extensions or add-ons for that, you know, can provide unique functionality for your particular service, whether they're public, you know, I need to integrate with Google AdSense, or they're more private in that, you know, you need specific functionality of rotating ads and flaming whatever you need, or, you know, it's really just like WordPress. The opportunities are sort of endless.
Totally. How do you let's talk about how you kind of manage a product and a client services company, because I think this is a challenge for a lot of companies. This is a challenge we've had and still have, is trying to get products out the door, when at the end of the day, until that product's out the door, you're not making any money. Whereas your clients, that's your bread and butter, right? That's your core service. So maybe kind of speak to how, you know, you built this for a client, you said, so it sounds like you pretty much, it was kind of client work, and maybe that's how you did help it. But even now, like, how do you juggle being able to support and kind of, you know, keep updating and you know, keep the plugin working as well as all of your clients?
So, well, luckily right now, having too many clients isn't the problem. we're sort of building that part of our business up, but I think how we approach support is, and I think it's much easier for products that are simple like this. There's not a ton of product support, because 90% of the plugin is WordPress core functionality. It works exactly like you'd expect, you know, and from an interface perspective, people know instinctively what to do because it's just WordPress. From like things like, and I love and hate you, Brad, for this, but so one of the things that we built when building this plugin was a host your own repo, right? So it's not hosted in the repo, but we do have in dashboard updates. And it's something that we heavily leveraged what you wrote about in your first, I think it was Professional WordPress Development or something like that book.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So along with that, so we have that set up, but we do have the activation piece as well. So a buddy of mine, Blair Williams, had taught me a lot about XML RPC, and so we built, and I love and hate him as well for this, we have an XML RPC infrastructure set up so that through the plugin you can authenticate against our servers using XML RPC. And so, you know, those two things honestly are the biggest support requests, because they're not default WordPress, right? So, you know, it has to do, and Dre, I love and hate you for this too. I'm just giving it all around. One of the issues that we recently discovered was that the amazing security service was IP blocking all of these requests coming to our servers, because it looked at them like spam or bots or whatever, because they were checking.
Spammer.
Yeah. So like I had looked through, and there was like 150,000 IP blocks that had happened because you know, these requests were coming in. So, you know, those big things are support issues, you know, and feature requests come in all the time that for, you know, add this amazing feature, add that amazing feature. And some of them are great ideas, and some of them we just say, you know, you should build that. It's there That's for you to be able to build that. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of things that people say, you know, we would love for it to do this. And I said, I would love for it to do that too. You should build it. You know, we built it with that in mind so that people could modify it.
Yeah, that's. I think it's a cool approach. I like the lightweight approach. I think I agree with you. I think people are starting to kind of trend this direction rather than the kitchen sink plugin. They're kind of going more lightweight, very specific purpose, and that's it, right? And even on the premium side, you know, not just, you know, not just free, but on the premium as well. So I definitely like that trend too. You know, get a plugin that does what you need and nothing more. You don't need 50,000 features. But, and if you need something like that, then there's a lot of services and things you can look at that are much more professional grade that are going to give you those weighted options or timed or whatever, you know, so.
Well, I think, and also to that point, you know, and I'm sure you guys deal with this a lot, given your clientele, but what we found is the more and more enterprises that use our plugins, the more they're wanting to have to strip out things. Not just our plugins, for every plugin. They're wanting to strip out things because of, you know, internal policy, not being able to use like Google APIs or whatever, because of legal policies or whatever. They want something that's very lean and mean because they have engineers on staff at an enterprise. What they want is the basic functionality that they can go, oh, we need this one custom integration with our internal system, and we can provide that because we don't have 90,000 features. So I think more and more as the enterprise picks up WordPress, they're going to start looking for these things that are our platforms that they can build on.
And I think that, yeah, that's just awesome. For folks who are listening in, AdSanity, head over to AdSanityPlugin.com. It's a really cool plugin, in-house ads, external network ads, groups, standard ad sizes, and publishing options. You've got a lot of the just kind of the things that you need to make things happen without all the bloat, man. Just go check it out. Banner management for WordPress, simplified, at sanityplugin.com. You know, the first time that we interacted, I was looking at heading over to WordCamp Orange County, number one. So five years in now, and gosh, that was one of the most epic WordCamps ever. I met you. I met Blair Williams. I met Jeff, of course. I met John Hawkins. I mean, there was just a lot of people that I still look up to and I've become very close with over the years that came from that event. And that seems to be the culture in general that thrives out of Orange County. How has that event been a pinnacle part of the group and the community that's built out of Orange County? And not taking it away from the actual meetup, because I think that in itself is just a huge win in itself. But how do you think it's impacted?
I mean, I think that you know, every year the people that you meet at a WordCamp in general, you know, become people that you talk to all the time, right? I mean, I can't say enough amazing things about WordCamps. For the one in Orange County. You know, we really try to put on a camp that we would want to go to. And, you know, the first year, we were very, very focused on development. And so, you know, we put together a very heavily stacked development camp. And, you know, it was, I wish I had seen it because I was busy, like, sweating outside and, you know, falling asleep because I've been up for 36 hours or something like that. But, you know, I think that what's awesome is that, you know, you find people in your community who are, you know, hidden rock stars and hidden gems, right? Where they're just quietly doing their own thing, and then you talk to them and you're like, oh my God, you're like this amazing developer, you know, or you have such amazing things to say, and they're like, no, I could never speak at a WordCamp. And you're like, no, why? But you have all these awesome things to say. Well, everybody knows what I have to say. Well, just go tell them, trust me, because you always have something you can share that someone else who's just picking up WordPress doesn't know. And I think that we somehow convince enough people to do that where it just kind of like everyone in the local community was like, wow, this like exists bigger than ourselves. You know, we had some really, really great speakers that some from inside our community and some from outside our community. And it just broadened the scope of what we all thought of as WordPress, you know? It was bigger than OC or bigger than any one place.
And it will forever be one of my favorite places to be. We've got some roots there. Me, from a personal perspective, I'm from Anaheim, California. So how can I not represent the OC, baby? If you're looking to get involved with the meetup in that area, head over to Facebook and just look up the Orange County WordPress Meetup Group. You'll see more info on pretty much everything OC WordPress. Thank you for bringing just some of the most amazing memories in WordCamp history for me. Now over, I don't know, 50 camps, and still some of my top camps ever been to. We're going to have to move on here because we could probably talk for another 7 hours, as we stated pre-show. Hey, let's get into a few of this week's pressing topics.
Word.
Topics of the week.
Holy cow, we've got some cool stuff in terms of WordPress releases. We just had a release here recently. You should have had an auto update come through. But I want to talk about BuddyPress real quickly, because I think that it's kind of a neat thing that's being released in 2.2, where they're adding custom post type support for the activity streams. Now, how badass is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is a really, really cool feature. I mean, I feel like the last few versions of BuddyPress have really, like, stepped it up. You know what I mean? Like, they're really opening up some features and including features that people have been looking for a few years. Not only visible, but even under the hood, performance improvements. I mean, it's just getting very polished, which is great. And they're really, like, now that I think the platform's really solid and polished, that they can really focus on getting some really new features like this, which is, I think, going to be a pretty popular one.
Well, it's funny, the example that Sarah Gooding used on the WP Tavern article that was released is posting recipes, and of course it was street tacos, to her activity stream. I'm like, one, you're awesome. Two, you're really, really awesome, and this is going to be super kick-ass. Then you come in and do things like favoriting that. Like, that's a really cool use case, I think, beyond just the regular scope or having to really think out of the box to kind of tweak and modify BuddyPress to have those things come to the activity stream. But right out of the box, having CPTs, yeah, I'm all on board for that, man.
CPTs, you know me. 2.2 alpha is out, so it's a pretty early release. It's very buggy, I'm sure, but they need plenty of testers. So now's a great time when alphas and betas start dropping, if you're looking to get involved. Head on over to buddypress.org. You can get into track, check out Trunk from SVN, and start pounding away at it. Find some bugs. Help out.
All right. Next major release of WordPress, 4.1. Release candidate is out. It's scheduled for release December 16th. I'm not sure they're going to hit, but it's. I think it was initially set for the 15th, but that's coming up as well. So stay tuned for the next version of WordPress. This is a major release, so you're going to have to do manual updates unless you've rigged your setup to automatically update. So just be ready for that coming down the pike here really quick. There's an interesting article in WP Tavern that was released talking about WordPress and its dominance and what it would take for WordPress to actually lose that dominance. You know, there's a lot of critics in space and talking about WordPress, this and that, but look, over the last 3 or 4 years, it's increased 1 to 2% year over year, the total footprint that WordPress has over the entire internet, almost reaching 24% today. You know, when you start looking at websites on the internet alone that are running content management systems, it's in the mid-60 percentile of all of those websites or WordPress. I think it's going to be a really challenging thing to see WordPress start to dilute very quickly. I think we're still going to see an increase over the next probably 3 to 5 years. But the same token, there's still room for other platforms to come in and do specific niche things, like a simple CMS or blogging system like Ghost. What's your guys' take on this? We've seen them come and go. WordPress seems to continue to grow and still hit a mass market. Will it start to drop anytime soon?
I mean, for me, like things like the JSON API that's coming in some far future version, seems like those things are going to even just solidify it more, right? So the more that you're able to use it in a variety of cases, you know, that's just going to increase its dominance. I don't see it losing anything anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll keep growing for a little bit, a few more years. At some point, it's going to plateau a little bit. It's not going to go up to 100%. I think we all know that. I think, yeah. Well, most of us do. There might be a few people out there that think it will. But, in my opinion, I it's funny. I remember WP Tavern. I think it was a WordPress Weekly show from, like, years ago, and it was around Halloween, and it had something to do with, like, you know, what would it take for WordPress to die or something. And it was a very similar article, but this was... You know, this was a while ago. This was back before WordPress was really as dominant as it was. So it'd be interesting to kind of compare that show, I think it was a podcast, to this article, because I'm sure the tones are a little bit different just because of where WordPress is at. I honestly think for WordPress to really start losing serious ground, I think it wouldn't be that somebody overtakes it. I think it would be that WordPress makes a serious mistake. Imagine like a serious security flaw that takes down, you know, a percentage of those, you know, those 25%, you know, you're talking millions of sites, something like that. To give it a serious black eye that has trouble recovering from, I think it would, something like that would be the kind of that tipping point of to start seeing it drop a little bit quicker, and then it would be an open field for a competitor to come up.
On the security side, I think I'd be concerned to say that that would really push people away from WordPress, because I think that the bigger risk of something security heavy that's going to impact a lot of people on WordPress, that's this security driven, something that can happen, an exploit, a vulnerability that's exploited, would be something that's third party that's used on other platforms as well. So I think that we would see issues beyond WordPress if it was something that would impact a large audience within WordPress.
Well, I mean, what do you know about security, really? So.
Not a damn thing, really.
It's not going anywhere anytime soon. I think we all know that, and that's a very good thing, since all of our businesses are focused completely on WordPress.
I think that we're going to continue to see that upward trend of 1-2% year over year, whatever the number is, for the foreseeable future, 3 to 5 years before we see any change there. Now, if to Matt's word, we continue to really drive that mobile piece and really expand there, we might see an even bigger increase in that in the short term, which could sustain for a long time.
I'm ready for it to hit 25%. I want to party when it hits 25%.
Hell yeah.
That's a great number.
Yeah, I think we need to party at every point, like 23.5,
0.6, 0.7.
Oh, man.
You can auto-party at every dot release.
That's it, man. Auto party at every dot release. I think we just found our show title. With that, gosh, it's been a quick episode, it seems like. There's so much stuff that should have been like a 2-hour episode. I told you this was going to be more enthusiastic and even more awesome. I've drank all my my water. Let's go ahead and move on to this week's Bar Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and knock this out first, because that's how I roll. I'm just Bogart and everything here.
It's your show, dude. We're just hanging out.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm just a wheel on this Mack truck. What I've been looking at here, this is kind of cool, and I don't know how many of you have seen it, and since, you know, Brad likes to really note that I'm a design type, I'm not really the dev type, and, you know, it's just not that geeky altogether. Well, I like to design, and I do work with Photoshop and different types of graphics programs and file types, and often through a project you have different versions that are created, oftentimes way too many versions. And sometimes you can lose track of that. There's a really cool program. There's probably other ones like it, but this site is like a subversion for design versus code, called Layer Vault. A lot of people using it. It helps you organize, store, and version, and present and collaborate all of your design. Easy tracking. Iterations can be tracked through there and checked out. And it kind of aligns everybody on the actual whole flow of where the life cycle is on the design that that you're working on. It's called layervault.com. There you go.
Very cool. Brandon, what do you got over there?
Okay, so I mentioned I have kids. So this one's actually pretty awesome. This week, actually, the 8th to the 14th in the U.S. is the Hour of Code initiative. So there are organizations going around, if you go to code.org, to teach kids how to create code. And they're doing it in my kids' school. They've got all sorts of lessons and iPad games that they're all playing that teach kids just the fundamentals of how to create code. Last week, my son Andrew and I lit up a tree for Christmas on Google's Google site, and he had some fun playing with that. And I just think the more we can get code in front of kids, it's going to be crazy.
I love it. I love the idea of kids coding. I know when I was in school, I would take every computer class I would get, and there were like two. You know, I just didn't. Yeah. There weren't classes for me to get into, and so it was a real challenge trying to get any kind of learning around computers and coding. It just wasn't around. So to see things kind of getting it at this level is pretty amazing. I think there's studies that show that kids who are coding, just like kids who read music, have a much better grasp on learning and can actually learn at a much higher level, which is really interesting. So very cool. Is this the project that President Obama coded for? Yep. I mean, come on, our president's coding now. Like this is that's pretty cool.
What's gonna happen next?
Yeah, cowboy coding. Unfortunately, I'm just gonna leave it.
All right. Well, I got two bar tricks because this is my show too, Dre. So I'm doing what I want to do.
Hey, run with it, Big Daddy-O. Run with it.
I got two bar tricks. So my first one is there's a new app on the App Store that you need to check out. This is the Torque Mag app. So if you love the content coming out of Torque Mag. Now have an app that's built with Reactor by AppPressor. It is available for iOS and Android. Just search Torque Mag, or it'll probably come up with Torque. It has all the content. Torque obviously does a lot of help for us on this show. It has supported us for a long time, so we definitely love the whole team over at Torque. It's a really cool app. And the Dradcast show notes are also part of Torque, so they go right into the app as well. So you can get the Dradcast either through the Dradcast app or the Torque app. So definitely check that out. The other item I want to mention is a little bit of a holiday competition that we're doing over at WebDev Studios. So it actually stemmed from our project managers got together and decided that we have teams at WebDev Studios. We have three teams, and they decided that they want to do something fun for the holidays, a little bit friendly competition between the teams. And they thought it'd be fun to have each team pick a charity and then see which team could raise the most money for that charity, which is an awesome cause. So obviously the money's going towards three different charities. And they're all out there rooting for the charities and trying to get various donations over the holidays. The three charities that we're working with are the Freedom Projects, which focus on the youth over in Uganda, helping them get some kind of higher education. We're also helping the Code Starter charity, which allows they have a lot of programming classes, kind of to your point, Brandon. They do a lot of programming classes, and they give computers to kids that can't afford them that are enrolling in their classes. So they're helping kids code, which is really awesome. Then the final charity is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is essentially fighting to keep the internet free like we love and know it today. So all three great charities. Head over to webdevstudios.com/blog. We have a post that links up all the charities. You can go right there and donate. It's the holidays. It's time to give back, even if it's a couple dollars. Every little bit helps. So if you can do it, definitely help them out. It's going to go to three really good causes.
I gotta throw a shout-out. Christina and Jamie, you guys are just awesome. And I certainly appreciate the effort that went into this. Great causes. And beyond that, we're also going to be hosting an ugly Christmas sweater contest in-house.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's get
Drake's
it off.
He's going to wear a sweater with a picture of his face on it.
Well, that's it. I am Cuban. I am Cuban. I just no shirt on. That's
a shirtless sweater. That might win, my friend.
And get a Chargers one.
Yeah. Oh, that I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. That wasn't awesome. Well, we've got
a pizza roll.
No, that pizza roll was rotten and not cooked, not thawed in the middle. What is going to be awesome is WordCamp Las Vegas happening the 13th and the 14th. I'm driving out tomorrow. Brandon, I think you're going to be there, so I get that big hug you were talking about earlier in the show. Man, it's going to be awesome. WordSesh 3 coming up December 20th. So if you're not signed up, Geez, I don't know what you're waiting for. Head over to, I think it's wordsesh.org, and yep. There's going to be a lot of shenanigans for 24 hours, in fact, of WordPress presentations from, like, the most amazing folks you're ever going to hear talk about WordPress.
Dradcast is kicking it off once again, aren't we? So,
well, of course, man.
Keep in mind that in the U.S., December 20th is a Saturday, but it actually starts 7 p.m. Friday East Coast time. So it starts on the 20th UTC, so make sure you do the math on that. 7 p.m. Friday night Eastern is the start time.
There's no reason you shouldn't be signing up. It's free, and you're just going to learn a lot. I mean, geez, who wouldn't? Pressnomics 3 coming up January 22nd through the 24th, and Prestige Comp February 27th and through the 28th. Brandon, this has been awesome. Where can people find you if they want to talk to you?
You can find me at Brandon Dove on Twitter and anywhere else. I'm Brandon Dove.
Brandon Dove, the Brandy Lion. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. It's game time, baby. Woo! Hey, where can we find you at there, big daddy-o?
You can stalk me on Twitter, Williams B.A.
Williams B.A., and I am at Dre Maida. I am a 12-year Navy veteran. In those years enlisted, I had the opportunity to see various continents, countries, and cities. I also spent days, weeks, and at times, months at sea. It sucked, in fact. Oftentimes, I didn't see the sun for days, being a night shift guy. Through all of that, through all those years, and through my work in the military, I met a lot of people, a lot of great people. I became lifetime friends with a lot of those great folks. Some literally became family. But I have to say, without question, there's no stronger bond I have built. There's no more meaningful discussions I've had or caring relationships I've been blessed with than those close to me through my time associated with WordPress and involved with this wonderful community. There are too many to name, of course, but there are certainly a select few that I have the honor to call true friends. People that I could depend on, people that I would, without a doubt, throw myself in front of a bus for. Maybe I've already done that once or twice, but I digress. From Brad Williams to Lisa Sabin-Wilson to John Hawkins, there's a strong bond there that I will be forever grateful for. Brandon, you're without a doubt on that damn list, and I can never thank you enough for being my big bro. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 68 with no other than Brandon Dove. We're out, baby. Booyah!
Yes. Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dreadcast. Yeah.